by surprise. You've got this figured out. You're watching us now. But when it looks as if we can win, you wrap us in your arms and step in. Everything we need, everything we need, you supply. You've got this in control, and now we know that you made a way when our backs were
against the wall, and it looked as if it was over.
Because you made a way.
You
Listen, so I'm just wondering, is there anybody here, and we're not knocking anybody, if you're still struggling and not totally free yet, we're not making fun of you, but I just wondered, is there anybody here that used to have different masters? Not giving any glory to Satan, but anybody here ever have a drinking problem? Some of you precious women and men. Did he make a way? Woo! If you ever had a drinking problem, I want you to get your hands up and just shout the victory that he made a way. Anybody here ever used to have problems with illegal substance abuse? That's a nice way, you know. You'd wave it a little bit. We're not giving glory to it. We're just saying, and you that were hooked on that, he made a way. Would you clap your hands and shout hallelujah? So let's get real now. How many ever had trouble paying the electric bill? No, I mean really trouble. And did he make a way? Anybody ever rushed to the emergency room? Did he make a way? How many headed up there before with a little child and you didn't know what to do? Fever, rage, and things out of control. Anybody? And tell me what happened. Oh, come on. Get a little more excited than that. Jump up and praise him a little bit. He made a way. Anybody here ever got a bad report from a doctor? Jerry, come on. Hurry, 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 hurry. Have you ever gotten a bad report from a doctor?
Yeah, about a gazillion times. When you've had so many doctors tell you that you're not going to live. You've been in three hospitals and ended up at Mayo Clinic, and not one of them ever told me that there was a way. They all told me I was headed for a grave. It was just a matter of weeks or months. But you know what happened? My God showed up and he made a way. He made a way. He didn't do it when I thought he should, and he prolonged the way, but he made the way, and the way made me. And if you're going through the way and you need help tonight, know that you've come to the right place, because he will make a way.
Oh, hey, I remember the day we went to the doctor's office, and she was supposed to get a heart transplant and a liver transplant. Where'd she go? Oh. And so they told, you know, there's all kind of tests you have to go through to get that. We came back all excited, I guess, because she was dying without it. And I'll never forget the day we sat and that doctor looked at us and said, "No transplant for you. Your body is too wasted, and we can't waste a good organ on you." That was a dark day. We held hands and walked out of that office. But can I tell you what happened? He made a way. Come to tell you, nothing's too hard for God. Come on, he made a way. They're going to sing this again, and as they begin singing and you begin thinking, when you come up with something, and it shouldn't take but seconds, where he made a way, just excuse yourself from the people sitting around you. Either just get you a blessing where you are, or get out in the aisle nearest you. Because, honey, the way we get stronger for tomorrow's battle is to praise him for today's victory. You see, my past with him tells me what my future's going to be.
You move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again.
Come on, somebody.
Somebody, I believe I'll see you.
100%. 100%. Give it all you got right now. He made a way.
And I know we hadn't taken the offering and we hadn't done this and we hadn't done that. But you know what? We're in the atmosphere for me to plant into your spirit what God has sent for us. And we want to take opportunity for that. So here's what we'll do. Can we trust you just to give the offering anyway? He said, just bring it up here. Just whenever you feel like it, just bring the offering, lay it up here, okay? Now, I'm gonna let y'all sit down. I'm not gonna keep you standing through my whole message, but when you feel the moving of the Spirit, I want you to respond. And I want the music to stay on alert, okay? Maybe keep three or four or something, because my word in heaven, if God's not orchestrated this tonight... Wow. God downloaded some stuff into me today. Where is that man that set me on this route? He's tall and he's got gray hair. And, well, there's several of y'all. I don't see him. if you're here, you're the one that talked to me about Ephesians chapter 3. There you are. Wave your hand. He's old and gray. I did not say that. But he came up to me the other night with some thoughts on Ephesians 3. And I'm telling you, this afternoon, me and Jesus had the best time with that. And I'm not, I don't have it complete. I don't have the revelation complete of what I think that he is saying to me about all that. So I don't know if I'm going to get into some, I may get into some of it, but I have something else that just dovetails into what God's doing. So let me do what I always do. Repeat after me. And I now, in Jesus' name, receive the words you are sending into my heart. Not my head. My heart is fertile ground where the Holy Ghost lives, and the seed will germinate. Now, in the name of Jesus, we take dominion and authority over everything in this building that is not like you. We come against fear and doubt and unbelief, and we cast them out of this building and out of our presence. And we ask that faith start coming into this place like a mighty rushing wind, and that the love of God would start coming, and that peace would be shed abroad among these people. And in the name of Jesus, we are going to see what you want us to see tonight. I've come tonight to enhance your vision. We need miracle eyes. And I want to help open all of your eyes to realize our blindness about how God operates and how we must take the very next step that God is calling us to move into this new dimension. I don't like to put stuff out and not give a roadmap as to how to get there. So hopefully tonight we can learn some things to get to where we're headed. When you think about what God has done in the past, just like that song says, because when you look at what he's done, it builds our faith for what he can do. The scripture says, greater things than this shall you do. That's hard to comprehend. It is hard to believe that at some point in time in this church, somebody is going to lay their hands on somebody dead and they're going to come back to life. But that's what scripture says. Greater things. He did that. Why don't we just practice it? Why don't we try laying our hands on everybody that's sick and believe that it's not just something that we do, but they're going to get well? Why don't we start believing that God is going to be the provision for this church and for us as individuals, that we don't have to ask anymore because the provision just keeps flowing? Greater things than this shall you do. I don't know. Right now we're in a spiritual war with the kingdom of darkness. And we've got to have a unified front. So what we got to do is notch up our faith level a little bit and walk in unity to win this war, because we are on the cusp of our greatest days ever. Can you say faith and unity? Say it again. Faith and unity. That's the path. I want to look at Ephesians 6, where it explains who we're warring against before I really get in to what I'm doing. Kind of lays the groundwork. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? And powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. The rest of the chapter goes on to teach us about the armor of God. You know, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But you can't do warfare until you're committed to unity. An army is no good unless it moves as one. You can't have some going this way and some going that way and some headed that way and the enemies that way. We have got to have a united front to move this thing where we want to go. We got to move as one. And just as importantly, we have to speak as one. You have to talk the same language. And in these days of conquering, the language is different. Thought processes have to be different. Words have to be different. The first five chapters of Ephesians, where I just read, are about unity prior to getting to chapter 6. And that's where you put on the armor for warfare. You have to walk to victory in unity. Paul talked about unity, unity. Jesus himself said, "Let us be one." He's talking about you and him, the church and him. We've got to come together and do this thing as one organism headed for the same thing. And that is to win this city and this county for God. It's not about my problems or your problems or whatever problems, because God is going to take care of that. But what it's about is let's move this thing forward. You know what? The armor of God is not just to defend yourself. What the armor of God is for is to claim more victory and more power for the kingdom of God. This isn't always about fighting. Sometimes, and we're just about to break through to that point, it's about cleaning up the spoil. Faith and unity are a must, so how do I move there? Now, many of our personal beliefs, and I'm not talking about doctrinal beliefs. I'm not going to dismantle your apostolic doctrine because I believe it as much as you do. I'm talking about personal beliefs. They're dysfunctional. Let's just go ahead and bust it right open. You know what? We have been blinded by Job's trials and Paul's thorn in the flesh, and we fall back on that when it's convenient. Well, you know, Paul had a thorn in his flesh. I guess I'm just going to have to keep this thorn in my flesh. No! It was a special thing with Paul and God. That is not a pattern for us to live by. By his stripes, I am healed. While the intention is that our beliefs should guide us, in reality, sometimes they lock us into lives that are far more limited than what we're truly capable of. We make excuses when it doesn't work like the Word has promised. And when that happens, whose fault is it? Let me ask you a question. I'll just make a statement. A fish is the last to discover water because it's been swimming in it all its life. That's deep. But a lot of you have been swimming in these same waters for a long time. And you don't realize what a miracle you are living in. The ocean is a life-giving miracle, but fish don't know it. It's just all blue to them. They don't have a clue what a miraculous thing the ocean is and how it sustains life on our planet. All they know is it's blue. See, you're comfortable where you are, and you've seen some good results here. And you get nourished, and all your friends swim around with you. And it's just so much fun. But it's time to realize what you have and where you are and move from comfortable into deeper knowledge. since I took it early, I have a little extra time. I do want to venture into Ephesians 3. And y'all, this isn't on my notes and my PowerPoint, so just hang on. This is what he mentioned to me the other day that set me on a thinking path. Ephesians 3 and 16. It says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Do you understand what that means? He grants you according to the riches of his glory. What? Are y'all hearing me? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. You can comprehend this. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You can be filled with the fullness of God. And this is where we're headed. This is the new dimension. Do you know what? Satan is scared of this church future. So what he wants to do is keep us living in our past with our hurts and with our wounds and with our griefs and with our depressions and with our abuses. He wants us to keep centering on that. But the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. That means the love of Christ passes memories. And when that happens, then you are filled with all of God and you're into the new dimension because you are flooded with God himself. I'm just going to pause here and I'm going to finish tonight because I feel God. I've got a lot more to say, but I want to do something here. I'm not just here to preach sermons and entertain you and whatever you think preaching is supposed to be. I'm here to see something happen differently. God brought us here at this particular time in your church for a reason. You just fasted, you just went through a struggle, and God is ready to release you. So I'm stepping out on a limb, but if you have something in your memory or in your past or in your heart or in your spirit that is overwhelming you, and it's something that every day you have to deal with and you're thinking about it and you can't really get released from it, I want you to stand. And I know that takes a lot of guts. Come on. Now, Heavenly Father, these people have stood in your presence and in your midst. And they are bound by some things in their past that have happened to them. Some may be of their own making and some may not, but it doesn't matter. We are bound by things in our past that we deal with continually. And God, your word says that love passes knowledge, memories up. And for us to move to where you want us to move, we must be released. And we stand here as a body of believers, love you, trust you, believe you, are filled with your spirit. But we need a release from the past. So in the name of Jesus, I take dominion and authority over every memory, everything that is binding these people. I ask for God to do a miracle work in their heart and in their mind that they can move forward from this day on, and those things will not bind them any longer. It is under the blood. It has been forgiven. It has been overcome because of Calvary. It has been overcome because I am full of God's Spirit. And when I get full of God's Spirit, I can overcome all things. Nothing is impossible with God. He makes a way where there is no way.
Woo. So it's deliverance time. But here's the thing about deliverance. You have to allow it to happen. And you have to believe it's happened. So much so that you do not allow that door to open again. So we're going to pray again, and this time it's not going to be just like it was. This time it's going to include, and I'm never going to pick that thought or that hurt or that pain back up again. And while we're doing that, some of the rest of you that should have stood and didn't are going to join us. Lift your hands right now and make the Lord a deal. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, that's more like it. All of us have had pain and hurt. In the name of Jesus, we bind pain and bind hurt and bind unforgiveness. Oh, and we even seek forgiveness from some of us who have blamed God for things. You cannot blame God for things. He's either your God or he's not. He is confirming his word. That's his kiss saying, I'm telling every one of you, if you can learn to love like I did, you'll win your street. You'll win everybody on your job. You'll win all of your family. They will come. They will come. They will come. You can't have perfect love and still have stuff hidden in your heart. You can't do it. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. Woo. So if you want to take this journey, dig real deep right now. Get to the bottom and lift a hand to the Lord and tell him it's all out there. There are no secrets from you.
Jesus, you made a way. When our backs were against the wall, and it looked as if it was over, you made a way.
Now while you're worshiping the Lord, get your offering all down here too.
Only because you
record offering.
And you move mountains.
Yeah.
You cause walls to fall.
Sha-da-da-da-da-da-mo-sha. Move as the Holy Ghost moves you.
Miracles.
Bring the offering that the Spirit spoke to your heart.
That's impossible.
That's part of it.
And we're standing here only because you
somebody bring the biggest offering you've ever given in your life. Bring it up here.
Because
of your power,
there is nothing that is.
If you want to put it in the pan, you can. If you want to just lay it up here, just bring it up here and lay it. It's okay.
Only because you made it.
Somewhere. Yeah, bring it to the Lord.
And for standing here only because you've made. And we're standing here only because you've made. And we're standing here only because you've made a way.
I don't know if you can feel it. The air is a little more clean. It's been lifted. We've released some things. Now I'm going to tell you, it is up to you not to pick them back up. You know, we all tend to have these little corners and areas of our mind where we play with things and we allow things. Next time that thought starts coming to you, you have the choice and the power to shut it down. You start quoting some word, you pick up a praise something and put it on your car. You do whatever you gotta do to start training your thought processes to work differently. Slap your hand on your head and start quoting scripture. Let this mind be in me, which was in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do this. And let's start training ourselves to think like He does and to move in a dimension that He wants us to move in.
So, ushers, you don't have to stand up here during the rest of the sermon. I want to just give you a little relief. You can go wherever you normally take the offering, but there's going to be people bring more. So just, why don't you just, I just kind of lay it up here somewhere. And it's okay if somebody gives something and lays it on the altar. We try to be courteous and use the little basket, and I've messed them all up because this is their way they do things. But this is the last night. You can make it one more night. We'll be out of your plan. Didn't they do a good job? So there are people who haven't done it yet. I'd like to feel that the Lord wants a record giving here tonight. And, you know, if that has to break your little, well, I give on Sunday morning, or I give on Wednesday night, or I give online, or I give whatever. But if the Lord spoke to you tonight about making a way, then just put an IOU up here, or dig back in there behind your girlfriend's picture and get those hundreds you've been saying. Whew. I'm telling you, it's not over here tonight. And your willingness to give is a part of it. I don't know why. We've been here all these services and haven't done anything like this. But I promise you, if you break loose and do what the Spirit tells you to do tonight, there you go. All right, there you are. That's what I'm talking about.
Wow. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that I can be filled with all the fullness of God. You want to be filled with the fullness of God? Oh, my word. That's when you lay hands on the dead and they come to life. That's when you lay hands on someone and they're delivered instantly. You can be seated. I think we're ready. These services have prepared us. So I have a question to propose. Can you see something if you don't have a word for it? If you don't believe how pervasively language shapes our world and us, I have some intriguing research for you. But first, what does Proverbs say about language? Life and death are in what? That's why I said earlier, not only do we have to move unified as a front, we got to speak the same language. If we want to go to the next level, some things are going to have to change. What you say shapes you. Language has shaped your family, your life, your beliefs, and even your church family. Listen closely. Here's where my research led me. Did the color blue exist in ancient cultures? According to the Radiolab podcast that was entitled, Why Isn't the Sky Blue? In ancient times, there was no word for blue in numerous languages. Now, I don't think the sky has changed colors since God created it, do you? Do you think the sky used to be orange? Sky's always been blue. But, you know, I don't know if you're a literature buff. I kind of am. And Homer in the Odyssey, he never mentioned the color blue for the sky or for the Aegean Sea, which he called wine dark. Nor did the word blue ever appear in other ancient writings that were otherwise very rich with description and visual detail. But they never used the word blue. So the question arises, if there's no word for a thing, can you see it? Researcher Jules Davidoff studied this question, and he found a particular tribe called the Himba in Namibia. And the Himba people have many different words for green, but they have no word for blue. So as part of his research, here's what the tribe members were shown. They were shown a circular pattern of squares, and all of the squares were green except for one that's obviously what? We all have good eyesight. Oddly, when the tribe members were shown the image and were asked to point the one that was different, they couldn't select the blue square as being different. They would choose the wrong square. But then they were shown a similar circular pattern of green squares. One of those squares is subtly different. Most of us will not be able to discern that. But when they were shown this, they immediately saw the different shade of green. What would be easy for us was not easy for them. What would be difficult for us was very easy for them. The Himba had no word for blue. And thus, they could not identify a blue square from a collection of green squares. A task so simple for all of us. Yet they could discern shades of green that we never noticed because they had so many words for green. So it seems from that research that what language has taught us, what language delineates, we can more easily discern. I'm hoping this word is settling. Our language shapes what we see. If you don't have a word for blue, you can't see blue. So what is your tribe talking? Look at your neighbor and tell him, "You're my tribe." We must start seeing things differently so we can create such a language of faith and unity that we all move as one. You know what? Troubling situations are not totally negative. That is an opportunity for God to show up. It just all depends on how you want to talk about it. You can sit around and have a pity party and feel sorry for yourself because this has happened and that has happened. And you can call every friend you've got and dump on them about how bad life has been. Or you can look that troubling situation in the face and say, "This is nothing but a God opportunity." You know what? Sickness is merely a chance for healing. Sickness is not meant to stay. It may come because we live in a fallen world, but God has already paid the price for me to be healed. It depends on how you talk about it. You got to start seeing blue. You got to start speaking a different way. We must start speaking differently if we want to see different results. That's all I know to tell you. So if you aren't speaking, you can't see it. It is time for miracle eyes. That's why I wrote the book on five miracles. If we can start seeing it like God sees it and start calling it as done by faith, I'm telling you, we will see it done. Let's back this up with some scripture. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4 and 13. Let's read. "We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, 'I believe.'" What? "I believed, so I started talking about it. We also believe, and therefore we speak." Have they seen it? It doesn't say, "I saw, so I started speaking." It said, "I believed, and when I started believing, I started talking about what was possible." Every conversation you have ought to be centered around the fact that God is about to do something in Madison, that something's about to happen at our church. You don't ever need to hang the phone up from anybody without ending on the fact, "I can't wait to get to church and see you again, because God is going to do something at our church." You start talking about it and God will do it. Let's let's read Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It'll accomplish that which I please, and it'll prosper. My words will prosper. If somebody is always negative, that's what's going to surround you, is negativity. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Let's read that one. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Do what? Well, we're just going to stack them up. They'll be sitting on the floor, and then we'll be praying the fire marshal don't show up. Now we're going to be praying that he just gets the Holy Ghost and joins us. That's what you start speaking. Say this with me. She'll put it on the screen. Speak differently, see differently. Speak differently, see differently. Differently. Speak differently, see differently. I am not depressed any longer. I'm living in the love of Jesus. I get up every morning, and when my feet hit the floor, I am healed. We start speaking it and we start seeing it. Can I tell you that when I was laid in a hospital bed that first round for almost 3 years, do you know what I would do? I would visualize myself doing exactly what I am doing tonight. And the doctors are telling me, you're not going to live past next month. And I am laying in my bed saying, I can do it. I can do it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I will be out of this bed. I will be preaching again. I will do it. You can have negative coming in your ear and you can let it out your mouth, or you can let out what God wants you to say. Whew. You speak a new faith language. Let's read Mark 6:1-6. I love this story. He went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what is the wisdom given to him? And how are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter? Good grief, we know him. He's just the son of Mary and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simeon. And we are not his sisters? Aren't they standing around here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and he healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he just went on about the other villages. I don't want him coming by here and marveling at unbelief and deciding to go to the next church. I don't know what happened here. A few sick people were healed. Everywhere else Jesus went, all kind of cool things were happening. At other places, he was casting out demons and fevers were leaving immediately. And entire cities were coming to God. And they were healing of diverse diseases. And lepers were healed. And the paralytic guy was healed. And I love Mark 3:10 because it says, he healed many. Then the issue of blood got healed, and even raised the dead. And then, wow, he feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Really? Amazing. amazing things were happening all around them. But you get to chapter 6 and into the city of Nazareth, and only a few were healed. Why? Their language had led them to the commonness of Jesus. Oh, he's just Joseph's son. He was just a carpenter. I mean, he fixed my broken chair. Really? He's going to lay hands on me and I'm going to be healed? No. That's just Jesus. He's not a miracle worker. They did. You know, we say, well, you know, when Brother Buster shows up, we're going to have a move of God. Yeah, he's a friend for over 30 years. Or, you know, maybe every now and then, watch this word, on our regular services, God will show up. Most of the time, we just kind of sit. They didn't talk about Jesus as a miracle worker, and therefore they could not see him as one. It's really very simple. It's how they viewed Jesus and perceived all the things they had heard that he was capable of. How you perceive him is how you receive him. Is he a healer and a miracle worker? Or is he just one who blesses us every now and then and only heals certain people? And, you know, you got to start seeing the color blue. You got to start seeing things we are not accustomed to seeing. You start looking at them in the spirit as, oh, they are already done. We're going to have to start believing things we may have never seen in the natural. But we've only heard that that happened overseas or this or that. And we've got to start embracing them as fact. He wants to heal all. That's faith. I know my dad told me a story about being in, I think it was South America. I can't remember the exact place he was. He traveled all over the world. But he said that he was standing on the platform and the worship of the people was so phenomenal that he literally saw a cloud start descending and spread across that entire audience. And it was nothing but the glory of God. Do you want to see it? Then you start believing for it. You start talking about the glory of God. When the up has come down, when it has happened in our church, when the glory of God is present every time we walk in the building, when we walk in the building, we're just arrested in our spirit. Let me walk you through a scenario in the book of Mark. Let's read Mark 6 and 45. Straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethesda while he sent away the people. I'm going to skip those John scriptures, y'all, so we won't take so much time, and I'm not going to read it all. But a storm had arisen. And the disciples are alone in the boat. And they think they're going to be destroyed. Sound familiar? Then something amazing happens. Because Jesus, he comes walking on the water. Let's do the Mark. Can you do the Mark 6, 51 and 52? I know I'm messing with them. Oh, there they are. And he went up into them, into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Y'all, that last line just kills my soul. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. They had seen so much. They had been walking with Jesus for so long that they were so accustomed to all this stuff that it didn't even register in their mind. And so when he starts doing something they had never seen before, they were so amazed. And they didn't even remember what all he had done. You got to be kidding me. That is craziness. He just fed 5,000 people. But they had just become so accustomed to it, they didn't even consider it. You know what that tells me? That we can become so accustomed to a move of God that we don't consider how powerful it really is. Do you realize what just happened in here about 10 minutes ago? God released people from past memories. So we just say, oh, well, he just filled somebody with the Holy Ghost. That's no big deal. Or, wow, she was emotionally healed, and now she can function at a normal level in life. Well, isn't that nice? Really? We have become so accustomed to what he already does that we don't see who he really is. He is God, and he wants relationship with me, and he wants me to be filled with all the fullness of him. And I am excited about that. Who is this guy? He comes walking on the water, and then they start seeing something different, and they start seeing blue, and they start seeing new things. And he shows up in Madison. And we don't have church as usual any longer. And our eyes start opening. And he's walking on the water. But we can't do what the disciples did and consider not the miracle and our hearts being hardened. And we take for granted that God just shows up and our hunger dies because he just fed us. See, their bellies were full. And you have been so full of the Word of God for so long. Bishop Grant and Pastor Grant have given y'all so much Word that you don't realize what a powerhouse that you're living in. You have had a foundation laid in this church that few churches are ever privileged to have laid. And you have a pastor that is present that few churches ever are privileged enough to have, such a visionary and such a guy that is going to move you from where you are to the new place. It's time for us to start seeing blue. It's time for us to understand that God does walk on the water. And when we and they got a fresh vision of the possibilities of what Jesus could really do and who he really was, incredible things are unleashed. But Jesus had to get the disciples out of the normal. He had to let them experience a bit of a storm. We had a bit of a storm. And let them realize that there's really more out there than what their normal language has always spoken. Jesus can walk on the water. Jesus can walk on the water. He can do anything, so he can take care of you. You know what? These are things we've never even dreamed of that are waiting for us. There are miracles, signs, and wonders that we don't even have language for yet that he's ready to do, because greater things than this shall you do. God is shaking our world, and he's getting us to where we aren't hardened to the moves of God that he's always blessed us with, where we aren't hardened by the miracles we've always seen and taken for granted. We can't have been fed. Oh, please listen to me. Calvary Gospel, you cannot have been fed so much by him that you're no longer hungry. They marveled not at the 5,000 being fed. He's awakening a new hunger in this church. Don't let that die. It has nothing to do with my husband and myself. It has everything to do with what God is wanting to do in this church. And when we're gone and you're here, you have got to continue this walk of being hungry and believing that God is about to do something we've never seen, and we are about to explode, and miracles and signs and wonders are going to be happening in every service we come to. You see, I don't know why God let me go through 10 years of illness. You know, why couldn't it have just been two? Why couldn't I have just almost died three times instead of dozens and dozens of times? Why? Why? You know, you can ask all those questions, but all I know to tell you is I'm not standing here simply as a minister. I am standing here as a miracle. A miracle for you to see and to know that if God can do that for me, He can do anything for you. It has nothing to do with anything except to glorify God. God gave me a trial to give Him a platform. That's what you've got to start seeing. Don't be hardened just because we've become accustomed to such word of God. We can't let the old language shape the new day that we're living in. God is shaking us up. It never needs to go back to normal. These aren't normal days. God is so heavy in this place. And He's trying to get through to us. Because He wants this to be a landmark for us all. You know, you have to have benchmarks in life. Something that you always look back on and you attain to. Yeah, a high watermark. And God is bringing us to that level tonight, to a high watermark, to start seeing things differently, and to start walking in unity, and to start speaking differently. When we do those things, we are going to move into a different dimension. And I said when we first got here that we are right on the cusp of it. And we have done so much work on ourselves this past couple of weeks. Growing, learning, shutting out certain things, turning off certain things, trying to get myself centered into what He wants me to be and to do. You can't make the king a carpenter because it'll shut him out. When you start lifting him up high, and honoring what His word says, He'll make a way where there's no way. And you'll see Him do it again. Can we do Matthew 21 and 8? And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewn them in the way. This is when Jesus, of course, was making His entry. This is a city. This is a community that has decided to make the carpenter a king and to worship Him as such. And then read what verse, this is verse 8. Let's go to verse 14. And when they did that, the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple. And what happened? He healed them. There's going to come a church in this last day move that the entire congregation walks in health. He's going to do it again. He's going to make the way, and He's going to do it again. It's up to us. If we decide we're going to be that one. And then when the whole town says, man, over at Calvary Gospel, do you know not one of those people gets sick? The flu's raging and nobody over there got it. And do you know, I had a friend that walked in that building, and when they just walked in the door, they were immediately healed. Because the presence of God is here, and the glory of God has invaded this place because we decided to make the King who He is. We are not so accustomed to the Word that we are through with the Word, but we have reignited a hunger in God. And we started seeing beyond what we are used to. And we started making a new language for what has happened. And this isn't life as normal. It's city transforming time. It is time for Madison not to be known as the liberal capital, but as the church capital. I just want to read a couple more scriptures and I'm through. We can decide to do what we want to do. I don't know. Let's look at John 12 and 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? The world has gone mad after him." Many people were crying, "Hosanna, blessed is he." You know what Hosanna means? Deliver us. Deliver us from our sicknesses. Deliver us from our sins. Change our speech patterns. Let us see the possibilities of this outpouring as God sees it. Not just a trickle here and there, but a downpouring of His Spirit that is continual until we can't contain it in this church. You gotta start seeing. This state in Wisconsin has become known as a state that has revival churches. See, I have a theory, and I've actually run it by some of our top leaders, that there are going to be certain portals that God opens up in this last day to where His Spirit just floods. Yeah, a hot spot. And I've been to a couple of other churches where I have felt the same thing. And I've told them that if they will do what He leads, He's going to do the rest. And I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that Calvary Gospel Church has been slated to become one of the most important revival centers in this last day. You have everything you need for it. You've got the Word background. You've got the apostolic doctrine. You've got a leader that could organize an ant colony. He can lead you to do this. God has gifted him with so many giftings, and there's a reason that that's happened. And there's a reason that God has raised him up at this time. And it is for you, and it is for this city. Now all we have to do is start responding. Start speaking differently. Start walking in intimate relationship with Him. And start seeing things that you've never dreamed of happening. Can you start seeing this church so full that there are chairs out in the lobby? Can you start seeing everybody that walks in this door? People come in with crutches, and before they make it to the auditorium, their crutches have been laid down? Can you start seeing people in wheelchairs coming out of them? Can you start seeing things you've never seen before? If you'll start reaching out in faith and start believing and start seeing and start hungering and start believing and start talking about it, I'm telling you, God is gonna do it again.
Is anybody hungry? Pastor, would you come up here? We have this just for you. It's because you're so special.
I have it on my body.
You can stick that in your on your suit or wherever you want it. It says blue. You want to know, you know how stuck we are in the box? Because I blew some of you's mind asking you to bring an offering. I'm just joking with you. We're just having fun. I don't care. But when I saw you look at each other. Well, where's the ushers? What does he think he's doing? You want me to walk? Yeah. And walk up there in front of everybody and just lay my money down? Well, Lord, we don't do it like that. Some of you still haven't done it. I saw some of you writing checks and you hadn't even brought it up here yet. That's okay. I love you very much. This is swiftly one of our favorite groups of people. And we love you very, 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 very much. But the whole idea tonight is, if you can't see the next level, then you'll never get to the next level. If you cannot see people pouring in that door, if you cannot see that this parking lot's not big enough, and there's one of your pastors in the name of Jesus. Set him on fire. Have you got another one? Woo! Until that Spanish church is so large that we can't even get it in the building. Woo! Come on, somebody's got to see what hasn't happened yet. Come on, get ready to see something you've never seen before. Every time Pastor gives one of those to somebody, the rest of you just rejoice and praise God. It's just little blue stickers, that's all. That's all in the world it is. Just lay it there, that's fine. Thank you. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah. Anointed to see things that are not as though they are. Shokoria handala boshaya. You see, if our speech and our action, see, our problem is our comfort zone. That's our problem. Because, hey, we got our bills paid. We support missionaries. We send our quiz team wherever we want to. Yeah, we even give to China. we do all that kind of stuff. And really, we're big enough that we can do that. It doesn't really put any one of us out. We just kind of all, you know, we're there. And so we're just kind of skating along. We don't want to go back, but we're content. But when you start seeing blue, all of a sudden, you aren't happy here anymore. I don't mean this church. I mean the state where you are living. All of a sudden, you're not comfortable. All of a sudden, a few of you start wanting to see a few more people in here. All of a sudden, we're getting ready to start bringing folding chairs and put them out in here. And we're setting people all over the place. And the preachers have to sit somewhere else because we got, there you go. Thank you, ladies. Because we got people all over the place up here. And the word has gotten out in town that if you're sick, please call an elder from that church. Sis, hey, what's your name? Kim, would you lift your hands to the Lord? I don't know why, but I think that what you gave is something that you needed. Okay, God's going to give you more. Lift your hands to Him. In the name of Jesus. Multiply her seed. Turn it into a mighty harvest. Kim, it's going to come to you. You're going to wonder why in the world did I get that? But it's going to come. Amen.
I'm going to do something I've never done except at one other church. And it was the same kind of feel and the same kind of move. I don't know. Do y'all know we're standing on holy ground? Vicki, you know holy. I know Vicki knows it. May not be in travail, but I'm going to tell you, they feel something they don't really know what to do with. And as a child will lead us to the altar and to His presence. And like I said, I've only done this one other time, and this is not something. It's kind of embarrassing to me, but I feel like I should literally take off my shoes tonight because I'm standing on holy ground. I have walked into a place and felt His presence. He has challenged me beyond what I can even imagine. And I'm trying to see what He wants me to see. And when I get to that place, it's like Moses. I just have to take my shoes off because I'm standing on holy ground. He is trying to consume us with something beyond our abilities.
Keep responding to the Lord as He calls you. When I walked through the door, I sensed His presence, and I knew this was a place where love abounds. If you have a need, I know He has the answer. Just reach out and claim it. You're standing on higher ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Continue to bring your giving. Let's praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. Oh, we are standing on Just lift a hand to Him one more time. So Terry just told me that in every move of God, that is a great change. It's led by children. Children feel it first. And we got them up here around the front praying tonight. That's a sign. Oh, hallelujah. So let's do this. Let's do this. Pastor's already gone out on a limb and asked us to come back in the fall. We're going to come back. But listen. Let's make a deal. Between now and then, we shall not have gone backwards. Amen. A southern term, and I don't know if it's made its way up here or not, but it's called chalk. C-H-O-C-K. If you chalk something, do you know what that is? Do what? Yes. If it will possibly roll backwards, you put something behind it. It's called, where I'm from, chalking it. So tonight we're going to chalk it. And this week we shall not digress. We shall not go back. Next Sunday we shall not go back. The next Sunday we shall not go back. As the summer begins, it's going to be a historical summer at this church. Woo! Bless the Lord. Where's Pastor? He's finding him some blue folks. That's right. He says that all of you are blue, but he only had, I don't know how many stickers we brought, but not enough. God bless you. We love you. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Terry, great word from the Lord tonight. We give you thanks for that. Hallelujah.
I'd love to give all of you a sticker, but he didn't give me enough. I still have a few left, but I just want to end with this note. God has just done so many incredible things here tonight, this last 2 weeks. And not all of you were here this time, but 15 years ago, some of you remember, we had a series of services, three services. We had a man come, and his name was Brother Daniel Escudero. This is happening right beneath our feet, what he spoke of. I've shared many, many times with the congregation, and some of you have had dreams of a vision that God had given me. And we're right there. We're right there. Just a little more. We just keep pushing. Keep doing what we know to do. And if we get off track, then we just go back to the last point and we make an adjustment. We just spoke on that and we move forward. But even though I don't have enough stickers for everyone, I know some of you probably feel like, why didn't I get one? But God is calling each and every one of us, not just those that have a blue sticker. I believe that even though at times step
in the wee hours of the morning, saying, Lord, where do you want me to go next? Sometimes I don't understand the way, but I know who is the way. And he's going to get us there, church. He's going to get us there. I don't want us to talk about at someday, because someday has arrived. We are at that point. And I just want to thank Brother and Sister Spears for such a tremendous We do have to be careful. Have you noticed we haven't had as many get the Holy Ghost lately? You notice that? You know why I think that is? Because we took it for granted. We really did. We just expected 300 a year. What did I say? I'm not here to talk negative, but what did I say? I said, you know what? 300 a year can become a rut. And if we don't appreciate it and we don't thank God for it, he could just remove that. We need people getting the Holy Ghost, church. We need people getting the Holy Ghost. We gotta focus on the lost. Stop focusing on us. How many of you are with me on this? When people come in and they need the Holy Ghost, it's about them and their salvation. It's not about us just hearing another feed me, give me another good message to get me through the week, Pastor. I've said this before, we've been here long enough, you need to learn how to feed yourself. And if you go hungry from Sunday to Wednesday, it's because you're not opening up your own. This has got so many recipes and so many good meals in it, you'll never ever go hungry. But you got to pick it up. You got to eat it. You got to digest it. Babies we have to feed. Big people, we should be learning to feed ourselves. Doesn't mean I never preach again. Doesn't mean that. But we have to get to that point to where that it's about those that are unable to feed themselves. Until we have such a love to where it bothers us when people leave knowingly unfed or leave without the Holy Ghost, that ought to bother us. I love you all. It's been a very emotional evening. God has done a lot of great things. Let's just shake hands with one another. Tell each other, you know what? We're in this together, brother. I'm in this together, sister. Let's blue this together. God bless you.